Just want to share a brief message today as we continue in our series of seeing Jesus everywhere, particularly from the Gospel of John. And if you want to open your Bibles to John 15, that would be wonderful, but you can follow along on PowerPoint if you wish. Just want to give us a little bit of a recap that the whole point of John's Gospel is to see life. In fact, John just basically defines Jesus as he is life, and he's the life for all of us. And he talks a lot about love, and he talks about light, and he talks about our life having purpose. And Jesus comes to show us who God is in the flesh and the words that he spoke. And then in John chapter 13, there's a direct shift in this gospel. Jesus makes it clear from John 13 that he's on his way to the cross, where many people would believe that this is his ultimate demise, that his death meant complete loss, when in fact, all the way through the Old Testament and in the New Testament in Jesus' teaching, the cross was an ultimate victory, where maybe the dark forces looked like they had won, but in fact, Jesus gave his life for all people, even the dark forces, even Judas himself. He gave his life for everyone, knowing that in 3 days he would be raised from the dead in bodily form, saying that death no longer has its grip on us. And not only is that a message in the ultimate resurrection of all things, but that Jesus is saying a new age has begun. Just as I died and I was buried and I was raised again, I am setting things to rights. And right now we are in that stage where the ultimate fulfillment has not yet happened, but we already have the victory in Christ. How's that for good news today? And it happened even in his resurrection. So to understand John, he wants us to sort of put all this together. So from John 13 all the way to the cross, it has his words of being utmost importance, because John makes it clear he's on his way to the cross, and John could have crafted this gospel any way he chose, but watch as he carefully brings about what's important to Jesus on his way to the cross. So in John chapter 15 is where we are today. He does something unique, John does. He uses John 15, John 16, and John 17 all in one day. And a lot of words are expressed in that one day. Jesus is saying things that are paramount. They were paramount back then, and they are so paramount today, and maybe particularly in our own situation. So what he says here in the first about 17 verses, he says three things, and he kind of repeats himself over and over again. And maybe the disciples were like many of us to learn, I got to keep hearing it. Say it again, say it again, say it again. And so what he does is he says three things. Remain is what he says, verses 4, 5, and then later in verse 7. Jesus says, remain in me. And then he says, allow my words to remain in you. That's verse 7. And then in verse 9, he says, remain in my love. Remain in me, remain in my words, remain in my love. Remain in me. Jesus has said, we're on the way to the cross. It's going to be difficult, so stay close to me. Remain in me. This scenario has probably happened to all of us. And even if you don't have children, you maybe have had brothers and sisters or even good friends. But I remember Barb and I leaving Sunridge, Ontario, where, you know, it's pretty rural, and moving to downtown Toronto. And there was little baby Rianne and little baby Brian. And first trip on the subway, Barb and I couldn't hold on tight enough to our children because there were so many people. And then when those subway doors would open, people coming in and rushing out, we felt like they could get lost so easily. So we just wanted to hold on to them. And I remember several times our children trying to squirming out of us. You're squeezing me too tightly. But what Jesus is saying is to his disciples is, you need to squeeze me. Hold on to me. Because it's not going to go the way you think. Because Jesus has repeated it over and over again. This is what's going to happen to me. I'm going to be arrested. I am going to be crucified. But I'll be raised 3 days, and none of them got it. None of them got it, because how many of the disciples said, we will stay with you even unto death? But how many of them remained in Jesus when his ultimate death came? Not a one. Not a one. So the import of his words are profound. Remain in me. Stay with me, absorb me. Notice how I've dealt with people, Jesus said. With a religious man like Nicodemus, and how I introduced the Holy Spirit to him, and not just to him, but now to all of us. And how I got down and washed your feet, and that we need to wash the feet of each other, not necessarily literally, but in every other way, washing each other's emotions with love and tenderness and caring, because we want to, because people mean so much to us, because we know how much Jesus means to us, and Jesus feels about others the way he feels about us. So how can we not serve other people authentically, caring in a tender way? As Jesus washed their feet, he said, now go and do likewise. Holding off condemnation. Remain in me means, as Jesus listened to them, that we can listen to other people. The second thing he says is, may my words remain in you. It's interesting to me that in the Bible, Israel had a name before it was Israel. His name was Jacob. And Jacob means the one who wrestles with God. And you may remember the story of one night Jacob being introduced to this man he did not know, and they ended up wrestling all night long. Little did he know that the original language tells us this, that he was wrestling with God. And God was there just kind of maybe playing a little bit with Jacob, wrestling. God could have done whatever he wanted. They wrestled all night long. And then finally, when it was almost morning, God just touched Jacob's hip. And now Jacob walks with a limp through life. Let's face it, we all walk with limps through life. And wrestling is a good thing. Wrestling with Scripture allows us to go deep. It opens up those protective barriers that somehow we have isolated and sometimes taken advantage of Scripture to put them like almost in a jail, that those doors will never be open to be re-examined again. And God says, wrestle with these Scriptures. Go deep with Scriptures. Trust each other and wrestle with each other with these Scriptures. Never in an antagonistic way and never using Scriptures to demand our own way, but always using Scriptures to see Jesus better, to see the world better, to see the truth of the gospel better, to open up the doors to the freedom of allowing people to come to Christ, therefore to remain in him and remaining in his words. It builds spiritual community. It builds spiritual friends. And it's so cool to be able to sit down with people whom you love and whom you trust and just go deep in Scripture and kind of say, you know, here's something I've been thinking about. And your friend might go, whew, well, I knew you're a bit off, but wow, I've never considered that before. And vice versa. And then all of a sudden, it's just this relaxed dialogue of trying to understand Scripture, going deep in Scripture and loving each other as we go through it. The third thing that he says, which I think is ultimately profound, and Jesus says this in a beautiful way. remain in me. Allow my words to remain in you. And here's the principle that will guide us, he said. It's love. In John 13, he begins this chapter by saying, Jesus saying he's now going to show them the full extent of his love. And it wasn't the cross. The beginning of the full extent of his love was to take off his outer glory, get down on his hands and knees with water, taking dirty, smelly, old disciples' feet in his hands and lovingly hold them and touch them and wash them and dry them. And the symbolism, I think, is real. That's exactly what Jesus does for us. He takes us and he looks at us and he washes us with his death and his burial and his resurrection. The sacraments are part of that. When we take communion, it's his death, burial, and resurrection. Our baptism is being washed by the blood of Christ, if you will. As Jesus died and was buried and rose again, in our baptism, we are being washed by the love of Christ. But it's the daily, every single day, being washed by Christ. By remaining in him, by remaining in his words, and by remaining in his love. We build a spiritual community that way. Well, it would be easy if we could just live based on everything that we said today. It'd be great. But that's not how most of us live. We're challenged, and sometimes we get blown off course a little bit. Sometimes we don't go as deep as we'd like to, and sometimes we're blindsided, and sometimes bad things happen, and pretty soon that reminder of remaining in Christ and remaining in his word and remaining in his love isn't as easy as we've thought. And there are dark forces in this world that, even though ultimately they will be defeated, are still at work. It's not found in John's gospel, but Luke comes along to Peter, and he gets a bit serious because he doesn't call Peter Peter. He calls him by his proper name, Simon. I never liked that when my parents said Donald to me. I never liked that. I was always Donnie, but when Donald came, I knew I did something wrong. So what he says to Peter is this, and it's profound. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. Now listen to what he says. And that when you have returned to me, that you would then strengthen the brothers and sisters. So I don't know if you caught this or not. So Jesus is praying, and he tells Peter, I'm praying for you because Satan has asked me, which I think is a very interesting comment, to sift you. He's asking me if he can have permission to sift you as wheat. And he did. Peter left, as all the other disciples left. But Jesus knew that Peter had the potential to come back. So if you're lost, let me bring it back. Here in John's gospel, Jesus is recorded as saying, remain in me, remain in my words, remain in my love. And there are going to be times when you don't. But I want you to come back and remain in me and remain in my words and remain in my love. And then there are times when you won't. But I'm going to keep praying for you that you'll come back and remain in me and remain in my words and remain in our love. And that's the way, for many of us, our Christian life has gone and maybe will go, but we want to get a bit stronger every time we leave for a while to come back and hold closely to our loving Savior. And so let me just kind of wrap all of this up. So when John writes this gospel, the church had been in existence for a long, long time. The Gospels did not come to the churches until many years after the church had already started. John's Gospel comes at the end of most New Testament books. John was one of the last books written. But not only was it the Gospel of John, John becomes a prolific writer because a couple of years later, he begins a writing spree where he writes 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Now, based on all of that, I'd like us to conclude this these few words today by going in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. So we've been talking in the Gospel of John about Jesus saying, "Remain in me." So one of the heresies that came to the church, the early church, was this philosophy called Gnosticism, exclusivism, who's in and who's out, and who has the authority, and all this nonsense, just nonsense. When we stop and think about the church, it belongs firmly to and is held tightly by Jesus himself. It's all about him. God placed all things under Christ's feet and made him head over everything for the church, which is his body. We belong to him. Remain in him, remain in his words, remain in his love. People started pulling away from that. So here's what John says that I think and I hope will give us some confidence, and I don't know how to say it otherwise, and help us to relax with each other in a beautiful faith. Because there are people, he said, who are anti-Christ. Not that they don't believe he doesn't exist, but they just don't really get what he was all about. I mean, I think when Jesus talks about "I am the way," that Jesus demonstrated what that way was. The way he treated people, the way he cared for people, the way he loved people, the way he went to the cross for us. That was the way. And that only a few people really get it. So based on all of that, there's two words that John repeats in this section. One is the word "anointed," and the other is the word "know." K-N-O-W, not yes and no, but no in the aspect of I get this, I grasp this. The word "anointed" we don't get, but Jesus does. And here's how Jesus describes anointed. Are you ready? He describes anointed as a mother or father taking a beautiful baby and putting that baby in wash water, and from head to toe, covering that baby with cleanliness. But as the father and mother is cleaning that baby with clean water, for most of us, this is the truth. There's a lot of hugs and kisses that are happening at the same time. It's not just making this child clean. It is pouring yourself, your love, into this child. Sometimes a baby doesn't really get it, but they're healthy because of it. Makes us feel good too, right? That's the word "anointed." Now listen. Verse 18. "Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, a leader who doesn't know Christ. Even now, many antichrists," meaning people who don't believe in Christ, "have come. This is how we know it's the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have," here's this word John uses, "remained with us. But their going out showed that none of them belonged to us," meaning they really didn't trust Christ. "But you have an anointing." That's Christ doing this for us. "But you have an anointing." And the only way I think to understand this scripture is to be selfish and to picture yourself being anointed by Jesus himself. And the way to get this is you. And you really have to see your name in print. "But you have," and put your name in there, "you have an anointing from the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. I do not write because that you know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth." Who is the liar? "It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Messiah. Such a person is the Antichrist." The person doesn't believe in Christ. "Denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, in eternal life. And then he goes deep. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. Stop. Going back to John's gospel, encouragement, remain in him. Oh, and by the way, now in 1 John, he's saying Christ is always remaining in you. He will never not remain in you. And if we walk, he'll come after you. He'll leave out of the 100 sheep, the one that go, he'll leave the 99 to go after us, to bring us back. He's anointing us with his love. He's remaining on us and in us. You have received what remains in you. You don't need anyone to teach you. You know this. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it was taught, remain in him. And then he wraps it up. And this is so good. And now, dear children, continue in him, that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him face to face. We sang years ago, chorus or part of the hymn, face to face, seeing him face to face. When Helen Keller was asked, what do you look most forward to in life? Her answer was, oh, I can't wait until I get to the other side and I will see him face to face. Remaining in him, remaining in his words, remaining in his love, and being the encouragement we need to be to one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for reminding us to remain. May we be the words that need to be heard, but maybe more importantly, may we be the ears to hear more than speak. May we come alongside others with you, that others may know you and be lathered by your love. Amen.